What is going on, sports fans? Welcome into another edition of Glass Half Full, an ESPN Pensacola podcast with me, Jordan Glass. Thanks so much for tuning in. Got several different things to talk about on today's show. A little NBA. We're going to be talking a little WNBA. Some of the players for the All-Star Game have been announced there. And a little college football talk. A little controversy surrounding one program right now in college football. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later. But want to start in the NBA. LeBron and the Lakers have reached an agreement. Looks like LeBron, just like a lot of people thought, you know, yes, he opted out of his contract, but he opted out of his contract with the Lakers to essentially just rework a new deal. And that is exactly what's happened. This new deal, 2 years, $104 million. Looks like it does include a player option for the 25-26 season. So he'll play this season and then he'll have another option. So we'll just be having the same conversation again next June and July. So we'll see how that goes. Also, no trade clause, which is kind of a big deal because as far as the NBA goes, there's only one other player in the NBA that has a no trade clause in their contract, and that's Bradley Beal with the Phoenix Suns. So that is definitely too interesting to see there that he's putting that no trade clause in there. I guess maybe he's just wanting to stay in LA and play with Bronny a couple of seasons and then maybe call it a career. I mean, the guy's about to be 40. You know, that wouldn't surprise me one bit. I think he did restructure this, and I think he did take less money. I really do. 2 years, $104 million. That's still a lot of money. But, I mean, we could have been talking about a 3 or 4 max year deal for him with, you know, $200-something million as the salary, not $104. So I think he did take a little bit of a pay cut to maybe kind of open the door for them to bring in some other players. I know he had talked about Klay Thompson, and we'll get to Klay coming up in just a few minutes. But, Klay was a guy that he had on his radar. He also had a couple of other guys that he was kind of really trying to push the Lakers to go out and grab in free agency. And I think one of the priorities for him with reworking this deal was creating a situation to where the Lakers had a little bit more money to where they could throw at some of these free agents. And that just kind of shows that that leadership that LeBron James has, that, you know, I'm willing to take a pay cut to help the team. And you don't see that a lot in sports now. So you got to tip your cap. Look, even if you're not a big LeBron James fan, you got to tip your cap at that, because that is definitely something you don't see a lot of in sports now. There's still a few players that would be willing to do that, but for the most part, they're going to go out there and they're going to try to get their money, whether that's with the team that they've been playing with or they go somewhere else to a different, completely new team. So LeBron staying a Laker, at least for the next season, because, again, he does have that ability to opt out after the 24-25 season. And he can either retire, he could go to a different team. I don't think he'll opt out, though. I think, like I said, I think he's going to stick around, play this contract out, 2 more years in the league. Let Bronny kind of, you know, adjust. He can be there to help Bronny adjust and get used to being in the NBA. And then he can call it a career and he can go and make movies or do podcasts or TV shows or become an NBA analyst on one of the major networks, whatever he wants to do. If he wants to just go sit on a beach and enjoy Taco Tuesdays for the rest of his life, he's got the money and he's got every right to do that, you know, with the playing career that he's had. He's definitely, again, whether you're a LeBron James fan or not, you've got to acknowledge he's definitely one of the best to ever step foot on the court. So LeBron staying a Laker. A couple of other teams that continue to kill it, absolutely kill it in free agency right now. Oklahoma City and the Philadelphia 76ers. Both of these teams really have come into this free agents period. They had a mission. They knew what they wanted to go after, and they've done a great job of accomplishing that, especially OKC. You look at OKC, they said, okay, what do we need? We need a big guy, and we need somebody that can help us offensively, right? We need somebody that can kind of help us offensively, but also, you know, can be asset for us defensively too. And they have definitely done that. They went out and they acquired Alex Caruso, who's going to be able to help them defensively, who's also going to definitely be an upgrade with a quality shooting presence there that defenses are going to have to pay attention to. That was kind of one of the things with OKC, was they didn't really have that shooting threat. Alex Caruso can give them a little bit more of a shooting threat that's going to make those defenses have to play a little bit more honest. OKC, bottom of the barrel of the NBA when it came to winning for the rebounds. I think they were like third from last. They weren't quite at the very bottom, but they were definitely down there. They could see the bottom from where they were. And they go out and they get a guy like Isaiah Hartenstein, who's a great defender in the paint, man. He's going to go up. He's going to battle for those balls. He's going to come down with rebounds. He's going to, you know, give you second chance opportunities on the offensive side, and he's going to create change of possessions on the defensive side. That's exactly what OKC needs to add to their team. They've upgraded on defense. They've upgraded with that big man in the paint with Isaiah. And I think that they've just done a masterful job of knowing what they needed. And we've talked about this with several other teams. We've talked about it with the Orlando Magic, about how the Orlando Magic, you know, had to go out and they had to find a guy that, you know, could help Banchero, because Banchero can't necessarily do it all on his own. And really, the Magic need a guy that can be a top scorer for them and really kind of be a shooting threat. And they thought that they were going to have an opportunity at Paul George, but I don't really think they ever got a true shot at Paul George, especially after that interview and that meeting he had with the 76ers. And we'll get to those guys coming up in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, Orlando's just kind of been very meh in free agency. They haven't really done anything that makes you go, okay, they're actually addressing their needs and stepping up and making the moves that they need to make to take that next step. OKC is definitely doing that. OKC is a team that got where they get to the semis in the Western Conference this year. So they were close to the semis? They got deep in the playoffs. That's all I know. I don't know exactly how far into the rounds they got, but no, it was not the semis. It was the quarter. I get those mixed up. Either way, they got deep in there. And when they came out of it, they said, you know what, we have a certain set of things that we need to do better, and we need to go and get help so we can do those things better, and we can take that next step next year and actually get to the semis or the NBA Finals. So OKC definitely doing that, and I think that they're setting themselves up to be a really good basketball team next year. So I'm definitely looking forward to watching some OKC Thunder action when the season gets tipped off a little later on this year. The 76ers, I mentioned them a moment ago. They went into that meeting with Paul George and they said, we're not letting Paul George walk out of here without being a 76er. Like, he's going to sign on the dotted line. They came into a meeting that was supposed to have just been a preliminary meeting. They came into that preliminary meeting with an offer ready to go, right? They were like, we're going to give you this amount of money for this many years. Here's the deal. If you want to be a member of the Philadelphia 76ers, sign on the dotted line. And everything that Paul George was looking for, all those boxes were checked with Philadelphia, right? He wanted to be at a place that was a good fit for him in the sense of playing basketball, right? He wasn't necessarily chasing a championship. He wanted to go play at a place that was a good fit for him, and he felt like Philadelphia was that place. As soon as they made him that offer, that deal, he jumped on it and he took it. You can't fault him one bit. And 76ers getting him to replace Tobias Harris, which, look, not to knock on Tobias at all, but Tobias Harris, Paul George, that's a big upgrade. That is a big upgrade for the 76ers at that position. Excuse me. And you couple that along the fact that Paul George is going to be playing alongside Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. I mean, come on. These two teams, Oklahoma City and Philadelphia, are definitely going to be fun to watch next year and the year after that. And I think these two teams are definitely going to be teams that are going to be in the playoff picture next season. And it's going to be interesting to see how other teams kind of start trying to kind of maybe do some last-minute pushing in free agency to try to catch up to these guys, because right now OKC and Philadelphia are the king of the NBA's, are king of the NBA when it comes to free agency. So that's smart moves by both teams. Klay Thompson, he is officially a member of the Dallas Mavericks. 3-year, $50 million deal there. It's first and foremost a couple of other things before we kind of really get into how Klay Thompson can help the Mavericks. I thought it's funny. His dad, Michael Thompson, is actually a broadcaster for the Lakers. And, you know, we talked about how LeBron, one of the first calls LeBron made as soon as free agency started, was to Klay. Well, apparently Klay's dad, Michael, was also kind of in that same corner with LeBron of trying to recruit his son to come to LA and play for the Lakers. And apparently it was close. It was close. Klay was legitimately considering it, but I don't think there was actually ever a meeting with the Lakers. I think it's kind of funny that he had both LeBron and his dad, Michael, in his ear trying to say, hey, why don't you come back down here to LA? Come play for the Lakers. One of the more interesting things about this whole story with Klay Thompson, though, because a lot of people were like, oh, you know, Klay Thompson, Golden State, you know, he's good. They'll probably work out a deal, stick around with Steph Curry. And then all of a sudden, now we know that he wanted to be a free agent. And not just that he wanted to be a free agent, but he went to people like Steph Curry. He went to Steph Curry, who was an influential person inside that organization there with the Warriors. And he said, I don't want you going to the front office and talking to them on my behalf. Right? I don't want you going and putting pressure on them to have to sign a contract with me. I don't want them to be pressured by anybody. I don't want any comments made of, oh, you should really go and sign Klay. It's not what he wanted. I think it's very clear Klay Thompson, much like Paul George with the Clippers, he wanted out of Golden State. And he even went as far as to tell his teammates and his friends, hey, don't say anything to the front office. Don't try to push. Don't try to pressure them to giving me an opportunity. Just let it play out and essentially let me go into free agency. So that's exactly what happened. And now he's a member of the Dallas Mavericks. And I think it's a great move for the Dallas Mavericks. We've talked about this coming out of the NBA Finals about the Mavs just really kind of needing a couple of extra pieces, right? Especially somebody who can help if you've got a situation to where Kyrie's having a bad game, Luka has to step up. You need that third option there that can step up and help. And Klay Thompson is going to give that. So if, you know, Kyrie and Luka's having a bad game, Klay Thompson can step in and kind of pick up the slack a little bit. So you're going to have three players there in your starting five that are going to complement each other very well. You're going to have Luka, you're going to have Kyrie, and now you're going to have Klay. So you put all of these guys in there on your starting five, and they're going to be able to, you know, match each other, right? And they're going to be able to have each other's back. So if it's, you know, Kyrie's struggling and it's up to Luka, if Luka's struggling and it's up to Kyrie, Klay's a guy that can step in and give them that extra help that we talked about the Dallas Mavericks needing during the NBA Finals. So I think this was a great opportunity for Dallas. They saw the chance to get him in there, and they went down there and they offered him, like I said, a three-year, $50 million contract. He accepted it, and man, I'm. This is one of those moves that Dallas hasn't really made too many other crazy moves in free agency, but bringing in Klay Thompson, that puts them close up to being there with OKC and Philadelphia in my mind, because they're addressing needs. They're addressing needs, and unfortunately, we don't see a lot of teams address needs anymore. We just don't. You know, they go out and they draft these guys, and they go get players that they think might be able to help, but they don't directly go after somebody that is like, okay, if we need rebounding, let's go get the best free agent rebounder. No, it's, okay, let's just go get this big man. We need to pay attention to what the big man does, because just because he's a big man and he's inside the paint doesn't mean he's necessarily the best rebounder, right? So there's a lot of teams that just kind of go out there, and it's almost like they just throw wet spaghetti against the wall and just see what sticks. And that's their free agent's approach. But Dallas, with the signing of Klay Thompson, OKC with the additions they've made with a couple of players, and then, of course, Philadelphia, the 76ers, getting Paul George in there, that is definitely huge for them. All right, let's move now from the NBA to the WNBA. Shout out to Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, both making the All-Star game this year as rookies. Definitely a milestone for both of them. And I saw yesterday, I'm not sure if it was the game from a night or so ago or what, but I saw it yesterday on social media that apparently the Indiana Fever game had to actually be moved to a larger location because of the number of tickets that were sold. Like, they had to move it to a bigger location and they had to open up more seats, and the game sold out. And it's that Caitlin Clark factor. It's everybody wants to come see Caitlin Clark play in person, And I don't blame them one bit. I mean, if there was a team here in the area that was close enough to make a quick trip over and Indiana and the Fever were coming down to play them, oh, I would go buy a ticket and go watch the game just to see Caitlin Clark play in person. Right? And Angel Reese has the same factor. These two young women are becoming the face of the WNBA. Right? You know, you talk about we have like Mount Rushmores of sports. Right? What's the Mount Rushmore of Major League Baseball? What's your Mount Rushmore of college football? What's your Mount Rushmore of the NHL? When these ladies' careers are said and done, they will be on the Mount Rushmore of the WNBA. And if they're not, then there's something strangely and tragically wrong with your Mount Rushmore for the WNBA, because they are, like I said, they are single-handedly making sure that the WNBA is getting coverage and is on the map. And that there are a lot of butts in seats. And it's great to see. It's great to see, you know, because if you ever just really sit down and watch a WNBA game, it's actually really not as bad. I know we're conditioned to hear the jokes and to think it's not as good as the NBA or as NCAA or anything like that. But here's the thing. It's actually a pretty fun product to watch on the court. So if you're, you know, this weekend, if it's rainy or something, and you're flipping through the channels and you come across a WNBA game, stop. Watch it for a little bit. You might be surprised just how much you actually enjoy it. And it's a big reason why is because of these two particular players, and Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. So congratulations to them on not just the All-Star game, but really everything they've accomplished, with Angel Reese setting the WNBA record for, was it 10 straight double-doubles in a row, something like that. Caitlin Clark set the Indiana Fever record for 9 straight games with double-digit assists or something along those lines. She did that within 20 games. So congratulations to both of them on all they've been able to accomplish on their rookie season so far. Some college football news. It's not good if you're a Utah State fan. They're the Aggies, right? Yeah, Utah State Aggies had to inform their football coach, Blake Anderson. He's like, you know what? Looks like we're going to have to go a different way. We're going to have you step down. You're no longer going to be the coach of our football team. Looks like there's an investigation into alleged non-compliance with Title IX policies. And if you know that there's one thing that collegiate sports does not mess with, it's Title IX. Like, they don't joke around when it comes to the Title IX stuff, as they shouldn't. But yeah, it looks like non-compliance with Title IX policies. The investigation actually stems from actions taken in spring 2023 that violated both his employment agreement and the university policy. And it also alleges that Anderson, who violated rules that prohibited employees from investigating and disclosures of sexual misconduct. So this does not sound like it is a good thing for Utah State. It sounds like it is definitely going to be something that's not going away anytime soon. And even when they get rid of Blake Anderson, he still has kind of 14 days to really, he can kind of counter, I don't want to say counter sue, I don't know if that's the right word here, but he can basically kind of come out and say, yeah, this is, you know, this is BS that they're firing me because of this, and this is why, and this is that, and this is how. It's going to be an interesting process to see how this plays out for Utah State. Like I said, they fired Blake Anderson, their head football coach, after alleged non-compliance with Title IX policies, and some of that included prohibiting employees from investigating disclosures of sexual misconduct. So basically, essentially, what that means, at least what I understand that to mean, is if somebody comes to the team, the coaching staff, and they say, hey, we've got word from somebody that one of your players sexually, you know, had some misconduct, or, you know, was a little, you know, trying to choose my words carefully here, but it's not working. You know what I'm talking about. Basically, it was like, well, you know, we're not going to look into that. Nah, my staff's not going to look into that. And that's a big deal. That is a big, big deal. And that is not okay. Blake Anderson should lose his job. And if it's found out that he did prohibit employees and members of his staff from looking into those situations, and he did prohibit and keep people from being able to look into these situations to figure out what happened, who did it, and give them the proper punishment, then not only does he deserve to lose his job, but you can make the case he deserves to be in jail too. Right? If you help cover up or help turn a blind eye to a crime in real life, that puts you in jail. So Blake Anderson in some hot water right here in Utah State, getting a lot of bad PR because of it. And we'll just see how this whole thing plays out. Like I said, Coach Anderson's got 14 days to respond to this, but he has been informed that he will not be returning this season, effective immediately as their head football coach. Some more college news to wrap up today's show. This is on a little bit of a nicer and lighter note. College football on TNT. Yeah, that's going to be a real thing. So we're going to have some college football games on TNT, much like we've got with the NHL and NBA. And I believe Major League Baseball is more TBS, but I believe they do play maybe during the postseason one or two games on TNT because it's all part of the same company there with Turner. But, yeah, it looks like we are going to get college football on TNT this season. The Mountain West and TNT have reached a multi-year deal, and it is going to get started Thursday, August 29th for the very first game. I think it's going to be great that it's going to be on TNT. I think TNT is a great play. Look, TNT, I remember growing up watching the Atlanta Braves on TBS, right? So TBS and TNT, anytime there is sports on those networks, it's a special place in my heart, right? It's like when I see a replay of an old SEC game and it's a Jefferson Pilot sports broadcast. Oh, man, come on. That is nostalgia overload, and I'm okay for it each and every time. So I love seeing these broadcasts on TNT and TBS, whether that is Major League Baseball or the NHL or the NBA, whatever it may be. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing some college football on TNT as well now. And the Mountain West, that's a fun conference to watch. Definitely tune in and watch some of those games throughout the season. Again, the first one coming up on August 29th. I do just have one request, though. Since they have gotten rid of the NBA show, you know, with Shaq and Ernie and Kenny and of course, Charles, can we please get Charles Barkley? I know he didn't play football, but can we get him on, like, a pregame show for this? I mean, it's TNT, so they still could, you know, I don't know how his contract is with them, but, you know, I would love to see that, you know. Just Charles Barkley just talking smack about the other teams.
Man, that's terrible, man. Auburn, let me tell you something, man. Auburn would beat them all day long.
I just, you know, and you know he's going to make comments. And I'm going to find a way for the Mountain West to play a team in San Antonio. Because you know how Chuck is with San Antonio. Give me more of that. If you've seen the clips on YouTube or TikTok, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It is hilarious. If you haven't seen it, just go Google Charles Barkley San Antonio and trust me, you will not be disappointed. It's a good laugh for sure. That's going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you have a great Wednesday. Hey, tomorrow's 4th of July. No show tomorrow. We'll be back at it on Friday. So I'll talk to you then for a finally Friday. Have a great 4th of July. Be safe with those fireworks. All right? Remember, Roman candle battles are not a good idea. Trust me. All right? Have a great 4th of July. Enjoy all the festivities. Be back Friday with another episode of the Glass Half Full and ESPN Pensacola podcast with me, Jordan Glass.